It's time for Geocache Talk. Whether you are at work, in the car, or wherever you are, we hope you enjoy this show about the great sport of geocaching. If you're watching live on YouTube, you can be part of the adventure tonight in the chat room and participate with others as they watch the show. If you are listening later, please give it a like and subscribe on your favorite podcasting app so that you can get all of the weekly Geocache Talk goodness. If you have not become a patron of the Geocache Talk Network, what are you waiting for? Patron levels start as low as a bison tube level at $3 a month. The sign up is easy. Simply go to the Geocache Talk website and click on the Become a Patron button or go to patreon.com/geocachetalk. Patrons now get the famous blackout coin, invites to special events, and other really great items throughout the year. Become a patron today. Have you subscribed to FTF Magazine yet? FTF Magazine is the number one geocaching magazine available. It is a quarterly magazine that you can be part of. Submit your geocaching milestones and adventures to be published. FTF Magazine is also interactive with puzzles to solve and the hunt to find Spartacus. If you can solve the puzzle or find Spartacus, then you will be entered in to win a special path tag. Every new subscription, you will receive a special swag pack. Subscribing is easy. Just visit FTF's website, ftfgeo.com. Don't miss out and subscribe today.
Logwork, the creators of the fantastic logbook, made with genuine right-in-the-rain paper, the logbook's designed for the micro-containers of the present and future, geared towards the hider who'd rather go caching than doing cache maintenance. Find them at logwork.com, that's logwerk.com.
Big thanks to Derek of Baker Six Clan for the graphics, and our new patrons, Forcycle, Thunderstruck, Rosebud 55112, D Cryptoman, and Juanita. Our featured patrons tonight are the Georgia, Florida patrons, Brad and Jen. I think I saw them in the chat room. Lori, Nicole, Danielle, Valena. Those are our Florida folks. And then Sue, Sandra, and Ann in Georgia. And that is the Florida, Georgia group. And with me tonight, of course, my co-hosts, John, and of course, Jesse, of always. John, you're kind of becoming a regular, buddy.
Yeah. You know, one of these days, you guys may actually invite me to the show. And it's not like I just log on right beforehand and you guys don't boot me off in time.
Yeah. Jesse, remind me we need to change the password.
Oh, yeah.
Because apparently it lets anybody in. Mm. No, I'm kidding. We're glad to have you along, John. For an interesting night, it's going to be sort of a two-parter. Tonight's kind of a two-part for the March Madness that we're going to do. First, I guess let's do an update on your broken foot or whatever you were. We don't have to shoot you, right, John?
Man. No. You don't have to put me down. And, okay. I know Charles was advocating amputation, but
yeah,
you know, it's not looking like amputation. I appreciate Charles putting that out there, but yeah.
Right.
So just so everybody knows, it's, you know, I was at work and I was, doing some good duty to clean up some old equipment.
Right.
And I had this big heavy piece of rack mount equipment, probably like 20 to 30 pounds. And it was just probably like two or three rack units. And the thing fell off a shelf like 5 feet. And the rack here just went down, hit my toe, and shattered my toe.
And
I probably shouldn't have shared it on Facebook for anybody that's friends with me on Facebook.
Yeah, I've seen it.
Like, it looks like the ghost emoji / virtual icon.
It's the ghost of your toe.
That's right.
And you know, it's not good when I went for follow-up x-rays and everything's healing fine. So that's good. Things are going the right direction, but I got my follow-up x-rays on Friday and the x-ray technician, as she's taking the x-ray, she goes, "Can you explain what happened?"
Why does it look like the state of Florida? Why?
Right. So, you know, very thankful things are good. Very thankful things are moving in the right direction. You know, one of those things, I snagged a great LPC, you know, right after that appointment.
I saw that on crutches.
Yeah. So thank God for LPCs and Terrain 1 and Terrain 1.5s, you know, definitely appreciate those.
I bet Jesse do that. Did you do that after your, were you?
Oh yeah. I cashed on crutches for sure. For a while.
I was thinking back when you
really
did that.
See what a Terrain 1 is and is not. When you, you know, if you're not used to it, then all of a sudden you have a limited ability. You really appreciate those Terrain 1s.
Absolutely.
Or you really don't like people that lie about Terrain 1s.
Yes, that is 100% true. Because I know I did one a year ago, and it was Terrain 1, and it even had the the handicapped attribute.
Yeah.
Or the accessibility attribute. And sure enough, I went there and that was not there.
That's for sure. We've already had though, but yes.
We have, but we need to do it again. That's for
sure. Yeah, we may need to do it again.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's been a couple of years since we talked about that.
There's some angles to that we need to talk about. Because we were thinking that very thing. We were at a cache when I was down in Austin last weekend. And we found one in the terrain was a 1, and we were kind of looking at each other and debating, is this really a 1? I was like, yeah. Like, you'd be surprised how well a person that's in a wheelchair can get around. It was like, it's not. It's, you know, you and I in a wheelchair.
There's a gray area there for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. It's an interesting discussion thing. So,
yep.
Let's do some quick news.
Before we leave it, K-Blast, he's got a fantastic Terrain 1 story. I'd love to actually, before we do that show, get people to send those in, because I'm sure many people have had experiences with that, so we can kind of collect a little bit of that. You know, we tried to reach out to that website for a while, and nobody ever got back to us.
Yeah.
Which would have been a great resource, but it sounds like it's dead. So
yeah, you know, it does.
Maybe we can have that discussion again.
No, I like it. I like it because I think there's some, like you said, there's some debate in there about it that we need to tackle that. So, all right, some quick news. Cache Fest store still open. Just to let people know, once the sponsors are complete, which is 75 packages, once those are gone and they are running out, they're done. And you will miss the opportunity to make your own coin, which is really cool. People really enjoyed that last year at CoinFest. People making turtles and then trading the turtles. So that's a really good opportunity. Definitely avail yourself of that. Later tonight, we're going to do Key 8. So Key 8 is later tonight. And so that'll be good. And then I don't have all the details yet. I was at last night. I was at the Texas Challenge Mega, which was great fun. As you guys know, man, there is something special about being able to get out with folks and at a mega. And tell me if this isn't something that's, I'm sure has happened to both you guys, but I showed up at the mega, walked in the door, talked to a couple people, and I was approached by a few folks, and they go, "We're going caching. You want to go with us?" Oh, absolutely. I'm going with you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Out the door. And so I got to cache with Ann Poe. She's
very cool.
One of our Georgia folks. Mm-hmm. And Ann is prolific. I mean, if you want to do some high volume caching, take Ann with you, because she is a juggernaut in the caching world. And also was with Don and Jeff Treadway, Lost and Found 28. I don't know if Jeff has this, if they use the same account, but anyway, great fun. It's raining. We don't care. We're getting wet. We're just having a good time. And we are, we're trying to, long story short, we were attempting to maneuver through, and avoiding, the large lakes out there because it was raining. It's like,
oh yeah.
Avoiding the mud, trying to get my car through the mud and through, like, I'm not going to go through there because I don't know how deep it is. We'll go around it. So we did all these crazy. We did a Wi-Fi cache, which was kind of fun. Don't see those as often. I don't know if you guys see those.
I had one in my old hometown before we moved to Florida. Right. I haven't found one around here, but I thought about doing, I have all the parts for it. I thought about doing one around here.
Yeah.
Well, that would be so cool to give because, I mean, a lot of people, I got to admit, I don't have the wireless beacon attribute, you know, on that one.
Yeah.
Does that count as the wireless beacon attribute?
Yeah, they changed it. It's the attribute now because it used to be chirp.
Yeah.
And they changed it. So it is... And I got to find it. If Gary, you want to talk to somebody while I'm looking that one up?
Yeah, I just want to wrap up that story real quick. And the fact that just FYI, if you're caching in Texas, the rattlesnakes are out. So winter is now over for them. They're active again. Dawn almost got bit. She was about that far from it. I'm holding my hands out about a foot. Mm-hmm. She was not, fortunately, but they did have somebody come by and sort of shoo the rattlesnake down the road. So it's out of the, because it's right next to a brand new cache in Wichita Falls. Somebody had asked about challenge next year. I do not know. I did not find out. I'm sure somebody in the chat room can help on that. Wichita Falls was a lot of fun.
Didn't they say they're moving it to Florida next year?
Move it to Florida? Sure.
the Florida challenge?
Texas challenge to Florida.
It's the far, far east section of Texas.
Is this the one where you're going to have to wrestle an alligator as part of it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. For sure.
No big deal, right? That sounds fair for Florida.
Jesse's got one down the street.
I've got several in my neighborhood.
That's so weird to think about. There's alligators just down the road. Anyway. You get used to it, I'm sure. So wrapping up, it was a good time. I got to see, and that's the other thing, you know, megas are great, especially if you start going to some megas. You get to see folks, you know, that you never, you know, I ran into the Mad Finn. I mean, how often do you run into a dude from Finland and in Texas? He is a finisher of the Texas Challenge. He has signed the big board. So that was, it's fun. And like I said, got to see a lot of folks and, hug a lot of necks and just had a good time overall seeing people. And, it was just great. And, D and David, Team D&D, friends of ours, patrons of the show. They are now in the, Texas Hall of Fame. So
congrats to them. That's awesome.
To Dee and David. That's wonderful. Along with, of course, us, Geocache Talk Network, 2020 Hall of Famers.
There you go. Woo.
Thank you very much.
Old school.
Yeah, old school. So tonight we're going to sort of begin March Madness, since I guess March Madness officially, I guess, starts today, right? Well, they're not playing today. They announced the brackets today.
There's still some games to get in the bracket, but yes, they've announced they've seeded a whole bracket now at this point.
Yeah, they seeded it all.
Obviously, with a couple of games left to get
the bracket. Yeah, you got some of the play-ins.
Yeah.
But we're going to explain a little bit how we did the brackets tonight. And then, John, you want to kind of explain as far as maybe not the bracket part, but just the process we're going to go through this week?
Yeah, absolutely. So a lot of times, you know, and it's a great thing. I mean, we're Geocache Talk. We're talking about geocaching. One of the things that I think a lot of people love to talk about is what is the best cache type? And with March rolling around, we thought, let's put this into the March Madness format. Putting it through that format, it's very interesting because we're going to get down. We're going to put it into different kind of like categories for here and breaking it down. But one of the things that we're going to do tonight, kind of like what March Madness did, is they announced their bracket. We're going to announce our round one bracket, walk people through it. We want to get the feedback of the chat room and the feedback from the questions on here from people. So if there's things that you don't understand or you have ideas, put them out there. But then we want to put it out there in the Geocache Talk Facebook group to get people's feedback. We appreciate every poll that we do out there, all the great feedback we get from people, because I mean, geocaching is a community-based game. And it's so cool to see different people's perceptions, different ways that people do things. But I know this one's going to be a very interesting topic, because I know even as we were creating our bracket, we've already had quite a bit of an internal conversation upon how we're doing this. So I think it's going to be a pretty cool thing for us to walk through here and then get people to talk about it, but to fill in their brackets too. And then in the end to see what is the best cache type, you know, based upon this process.
Yes. So
we're crowning the 2024 March Madness or whatever tournament we call it.
Yeah.
You know, whatever we won't get copyrighted for and sue.
Right. The big dance.
The winner for 2024 is what we're trying to get to eventually.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And just we like have, they see the bracket, there's always controversy when you see the bracket.
Always, there's always controversy.
So there'll be on this one just as well. So it'll work.
Absolutely. And just as we said before the show, we pre-said to each other that there are always it's a first round bye. Not only no, but heck no. They have to compete like all the rest of them.
I know that somebody would think I'm biased based on my tagline.
Yes.
And based on my previous history and everything else, but I'm not biased at all. Totally unbiased in this.
Totally case. Unbiased. Right.
Right.
I'm glad to hear that, Jesse, that you're going to be completely unbiased.
My tagline does not stand for where I go at all. So,
right.
I'm gonna move on.
That's good. Just like in the regular March Madness, there might be some weird bracket stuff going on we're going to talk about tonight. But just like, I don't know, A&M will be in the north they're in the east bracket or something sometimes, or Memphis will be in the west bracket. You're like,
yeah, they can move it around.
Why are they in the west? It doesn't make any sense. Like, well, that's just kind of how they sifted it out. So we're going to go through the brackets tonight. There are, again, some specific things. And we actually have a major one, and then we have a legacy bracket. And I'm calling that sort of the NIT of the caching world. So still good. Already, they're still good.
Yeah.
But they're not in the NCAA one. They're in the NIT one. So we had to do it.
Before we get too started, I'm going to go grab I had to print this off. I needed it, like the digital and the print copy. So I'm going to grab it off my printer.
Go grab it while you're doing, while you're doing that. So we are going to do, I guess, John, explain again. We're going to share tonight the brackets. And then during the week, we're going to allow the users, the listeners and viewers to sort of help in there.
Absolutely. So we're going to put up polls in our geocaching Facebook group, the Geocache Talk Network community group. So we're going to put up polls in there, and we want to hear from everybody. You know, what's your picks for these? You know, so this gives everybody an opportunity to weigh in, none of us to really put out biases in there. So, you know, we're going to try to make this a completely transparent process. So nobody can accuse any of us of saying, you know, you guys decide the best cash type. And we all know it should be the new cash type called pizza caches, you know?
Yeah. So, they did not make the tournament. I'm just let you know. They're not in.
That's right. That's right. But Gary, I'm wondering, do you want to, there's a link in the show notes to geocaching cache types. And I think maybe that would be a great starting point to bring up to everybody because most people probably in here know cache types. I know there's a few comments in the, chat liar caches. Now liar caches are a type of cache, you know, I enjoy them, but they're not an officially recognized cache type through geocaching.
Not sure that they're not going to be in the bracket, unfortunately. They're not going to make the big dance.
But yeah, maybe there'll be a second bracket at some point where we can put things like unofficial items like FTF, liars caches, things like that.
Right.
We can do that another day.
Exactly. So I can go through start bringing up brackets and you guys kind of explain who is in each of the brackets. So if you want to get started, I'll bring up the first one, which was the container cache bracket. Again, listen to the end because there's an explanation for each bracket. Plus you want to stick around because we're going to do a key later. So who is in the container cache bracket?
So we've got the first part of it is traditional versus multicache. So those two are going head to head from the very start.
Tradition versus multicache is the first competition, which will be interesting. That's a starting off with that kind of competition is. You're talking about a couple big hitters, and already they've got to start out against one another.
What criteria do we want people to consider with this? Because we're not going to give our opinions. Well, I mean, we're always going to give our opinions because that's what we do. But we're not deciding. So
this is really good. Good
what
question.
What do we want people to consider?
What do y'all think? I think put out there, in thinking about what is the best cache type, it's not just thinking about personal preference. And what do we prefer? But it's also thinking about what's better for the game on this one.
And so how do we define what's better for the game?
Well, and that's a good question, Jesse. So if it's better for the game, we can look at it through multiple different lenses. One could be for newer cachers. What would be better for newer cachers, traditional or for multi-caches? Mm-hmm. What would be better for encouraging people to go out caching? Is it traditional versus multi? I have a few thoughts I could say in here right now, because we all know kind of traditionals get hit more often than multis typically on that side.
Hold on now. Well, that's biased because I had to throw this out there. You just made that statement, but new cashers can only go after traditionals. They don't get access to multis till they buy in. So that's not really a fair comparison.
Until they get premium, which some people do get premium right away.
For new cashers. Brand new cashers can only do traditional. So that's like 100% saturation.
Let's face it, though. When you were a new cacher, when did you purchase premium? I think it was the same day for me. I think I started.
It wasn't the same day for me because I didn't even find any of my first. Well, my first day doesn't count. No, I didn't even have an account or GPS the first day. I found it by address. So take that one out.
Yeah.
The second time I found one. Second day I started, I DNF'd a bunch all day long until I found another, and it was just the geocaching app. I was not premium. I didn't even know about premium at first.
Yeah.
So it took me a tiny bit. Now, it was shortly after that I joined up premium, and I've never gone back since. But if part of our decision making is brand new cachers, there's only one type that brings them to the game at first until they pay in. But, but yeah, if you're talking new cashers in the first year, maybe.
Yeah, I don't think I don't think we would include true new cashers. We're talking about.
But I think we have to balance it out, right? It's not all new cashers,
right?
We have to balance it out with fun for experienced cashers as well.
Yeah, and I appreciate K-Blast bringing this one up. So the game is inherently better if newer people like them.
No.
Yeah. Yeah.
No. we still need new people because we need new caches. We don't want it to be a dying game, right? So you need to balance fun for the experienced people with fun for the new people. If there was such a high curve that a lot of people would never got started, the game would be going downhill quickly.
Yeah.
Correct. All right. Let's keep that thought in mind as we continue down to the next part of the container one, which is going to be the Letterbox Hybrid is going head-to-head with Mystery Cache.
Now, we got to do some clarification on this one.
Yes.
Mystery Cache, that's really the unknown category.
Yes.
So we're not saying just puzzles.
Right.
So we're including challenges.
Yep.
And every other weird thing. Of course, we just lost inner cache, right? And we lost.
Yeah, we lost.
No. We lost mob cache.
Mob cache.
Inner
cache. That one went away.
We lost inner caching. Yeah. Just to put out a clarification on there, inner caching is actually getting an update.
Is it cool?
That's cool.
If you're in the inner caching Facebook group, that is not going away. Just the mob caches is what.
The mob cache. Went away.
Nah, I'm gonna start a rumor. Inner caching is gone. I just.
Oh man, don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it.
No.
Don't do it.
Well. When they get an update, we should bring them on to announce the update, right?
Oh, yeah.
That would be awesome. I just want to be careful because, I mean, for us losing like AR, VR, mob caches in a short time frame.
Yeah.
Just want to be very careful. Make sure people know inner caching is still here. It will get an update. And, yeah, certainly we should have
Chili Head.
Chili Head
back on.
Okay. So I just wanted to, when we're talking about this category, I just want to say Mystery Cache is the unknown cache type.
Yeah.
So that includes every weird thing that's in the blue question mark. Yep.
The blue question mark. Some folks have mentioned there goes the chat room is moving quick. So yeah, they said K-Blast said it was 5 days it took him to get in there.
Before finding his first cache.
Yeah. And then Andrea says, we found a couple for a few weeks with basic, tried premium for a week. Then when it ran out, we went caching immediately, ran back to the truck. We've got to get back in. So they renewed it. That's awesome. Good for you. All right. So that is the container cache bracket. So we're going to go to a different bracket. Which we have called the unique cache bracket because they may be containers or not, but they're just a unique cache.
Yeah, they're part of the main core, but not as frequent. Yeah.
Right. So the first battle in the unique cache bracket is a very weird it's what the committee did, and the committee decided that these two were going to start it off. So the Where I Go is battling the HQ cache.
So this is a weird one.
This is a weird one.
Because, I mean, I'm trying not to be biased, but there's obviously a dominant cache type in here. I'm not going to say which one.
Right.
But, I was going to say this before, but this is hard because you have to throw playability out of this one or replayability out of this one.
Yes.
You have a single instance.
Yes.
For HQ, right?
Right.
So that makes this one odd. So we need to think of a way to make, I mean, obviously Where I Go would normally crush every other cache type, but we got to make this a little leveled. So we got to think of a way. I'm not biased. I'm just saying, facts are facts.
Just saying. JS.
How do we want people to try to decide to vote between these two? Because that's hard, right?
You can't,
it's a one and done. And it's only in one place in the U.S. So a lot of our, listeners from outside of the U.S. are going to may have a skewed opinion on this too.
Right.
And nobody can own, one of them. So we need to think of a way to really judge that. That's going to be a hard one. I'm glad we don't have to judge, but where it goes. But if we did... It would be,
Okay. did I say very
Where I Go enough in that time? I'm not sure if I did, but go ahead.
Yeah, I think you did. It's a very different matchup because, like you said, they are very different.
Yeah.
But my thinking on this is the uniqueness of, because where I go is so unique. I mean, you know, you build, you know, with an app of some type, or you know, it uses the Lua, and it's just a, where I go is so unicorn like with its, you know, it's just so, it's so different. At the end, I mean, that's why it's in the unique, it's such a unique cache. And that's why, and of course, that's why HQ is in there. HQ is, again, like you said, these are definitely apples and oranges, but they're basically very unique, experiences. And so I think that with HQ, you can only find it once, but what an experience. I mean, and So for me, when you do a really good where I go, when it's all said and done, you're like, man, was that an experience? So to me, I'm trying to gauge the experience level of what a really good where I go versus going to HQ. Both of them sort of have an experience to them that are just unique.
What do you do the day after you go to HQ? You don't go again. Just going to throw that out there. There's still 21,000 more where I goes to find in the world.
Yeah.
But
this one, though, I got to say, is so tough because for a one unique cache that you can find and you can sign, is there any comparable one for the non-legacy types on here? I don't think so, you know?
Yeah.
I really don't think so.
Don't use the word legacy. We're not there yet.
Where I goes are not legacy types, yeah.
We're not there yet.
No, not implying that. Not implying that whatsoever.
We're not there yet.
Don't spark that
rumor. Real quick update. Tom's home, so he can kind of give us, I didn't know, but he said that Southeast was the winner of this year in the Texas Challenge. North came in second, which is, for them, it's like, they're kind of like North Carolina. If they don't win, it's like, we failed miserably, because they win a lot. And East, I'm in the East team area, and they came in third, so good for East to come in third there, so. And then Tom can fill us in. I don't know. I left before finding out where it's going to be next year. But anyway, yes, but I just don't find the two comparable. Well, sorry, they are. They're comparable. That's the way it goes.
Obviously thinking, why would somebody try to hold up against where it goes? But anyway, we can read lines.
And I'll tell you, that's the thing in March Madness. Sometimes you get a competition, two teams facing each other, where you're like, how the heck?
Cinderella teams, man. It happens every year,
Cinderellas.
Right?
Cinderellas.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But you know what? Luckily, we don't get to decide. So
that's right.
Yeah.
When they're a year like Princeton beat Arizona or something, it's like, why is Princeton playing? You know, why are they going up against the, you know, hey, it happens. So the next one is in the unique category. The Almighty Adventure Lab is also going up against the Almighty Earth Cache. So you got two juggernauts. They're going to battle it out. Again, completely different, but yet they're in the same bracket. So they got to fight it out.
Yeah.
Adventure Labs versus Earth Caches.
This one's hard too. Because I can see how people would, they're both containerless, right?
Yep.
And they're both kind of hard to put out. And let me explain what I mean by that. People say, well, Adventure Labs are easy to put out. Well, they're not if you don't have any. You can't just put out however many you want. You know, you can study up and put Earth Caches out when you want to, but you only get to put out Adventure Labs if you're awarded one. So there's some uniqueness with these two containerless types. And which ones are being better received, which ones are hit more often. There's a lot of ways to kind of interpret this.
Yeah.
Which one's better for the game? I mean, I could make an argument for both of these right now. Adventure Labs are bringing people into the game, and Earth Caches are a partnership with like national parks and stuff, right? I mean, that's and GSA and everything. Yeah. But I mean, there's both of these kind of are drawing attention to the game in very different ways.
Absolutely. I have a pretty good idea of which one Christy would pick.
Oh, 100%. She will literally stay in the car not to do an Earth Cache. No, unless it's a really pretty sight, and then she's getting out and she just wanders off. But
right.
Adventure Labs, man, they're growing. I'm telling you, I used to think they were stupid, I think they were stupid. But they're growing on me. They're really somebody that's exploring a new area, man. There's not a lot of Earth Caches bringing me to downtown historic areas usually.
Right.
There's a bunch of Adventure Labs I get to find every time I go to a new downtown area. So,
yep.
They both have merit, in my opinion.
They both have their good and their bad. There's some really crappy Earth Caches out there, and there's some great ones, and there's some crappy Adventure Labs
and Earth Caches. I guarantee you there's crappy ones of every one of these types of caches we're going to talk about.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
No doubt.
Yeah. No, absolutely. So, so next we've got another bracket. This is the event cache bracket. So there's the event cache bracket. And in the event cache bracket, battling it out in round one, we have the event versus the Giga. The event cache is the tried and true
that's like such a staple bread and butter type of thing.
Yeah, it is. They're the blue collar, put the hard hat on and come to the tournament every year and take it on. You got the Giga, which is unique to us in North America.
Yeah.
Not as unique in Europe.
Still very unique. I mean,
it's still very unique. Yeah. Even for them, they only get a handful, in Europe.
These are very different, but you got to think if I was evaluating one of these, which I don't have to, so haha. If I was evaluating between these two, one, Gigas are going to be much more rare. It's a different type of icon and everything else, right? You're probably not going to go to as many of those, but most cachers have no control over that, right? Whereas the event cache, you could see why people might like that more because they can actually host one in their lifetime. Right. You know what I mean? You can't just go around hosting a Giga all the time. However, right. Attending a Giga is a pretty unique thing for some of us.
Right.
But events we can be a part of as far as hosting. Of course, you can be a part of hosting a Giga too if you get with your group and
potentially
hate yourself and don't want any free time. You can do that anytime you want to. But
yeah.
But people aren't voting it based upon hating themselves, Jesse.
They're voting it based on what they want, right? So it seems weird to have a regular event cache and like Giga event, but I think they're so different.
Yes.
In what they represent and the value they represent for the game.
Absolutely.
Yeah. They do.
That I can see it being very, not even, but spirited between these.
Yeah, two. Absolutely. Yep. Which definitely brings us to the next one, which is also going to be a battle royale, which is the Sito versus the Mega.
This one's tough. This one's tough.
Hey, we didn't make up the brackets. These are the March Madness committee did this. So we're sharing.
We'll fire them if nobody likes it. Don't worry.
We're sharing we're just reporting here.
So how would you, what standards would you put if you were going to rate this right now? What standards would you put on this? So, I mean, what would your deciding factors be, right? Both events. Mega is more attainable for people to host, but they generally are not going to, right? Most 99% of they're not going to do it. But they can be a part of them more frequently everywhere in the world. There's a lot more of these than like a Giga. Cito's much smaller, but can be hosted.
Yeah.
I think, see, I go back and forth on how I would answer this, but if I'm looking at a way to evaluate these two, not just on fun, because that's going to be a personal preference, right? But
sure.
Which one of these two bring more positive attention to the game? And that's not as easy to answer as you think.
It's unique. Go ahead, John.
Yeah, I got to say on this one, I mean, this is certainly a tough one looking at it. Certainly, I see Jen's coming for CWE host. Someone broke an ankle. Cursed, give me a mega. Yeah, sorry to hear that, Jen.
Hey, can't bad things are having megas too.
That's true.
What I'm talking about.
That's true.
I don't know if that's fair to use that as your. But go ahead.
You know what?
But here's the thing, though.
They can do whatever they want to do. That's their choice.
That's right.
Yeah, absolutely. This is up to everybody's interpretation, how they want to pick on this one. So, like Jesse was saying, we're not the committee on this one. We're not making the decision. You know, these are brackets for the community to decide for sure. So, it's going to be interesting this one.
We might give our preferences too, but
after it's all over, I think we should.
After it's all done, yep. Yes.
Yeah. I've seen both of these bring something really positive to the community. So
I agree.
I would struggle. All the other ones I've had a pretty easy answer for, in my opinion, but this one's the one I don't actually have an opinion on, or no, I don't have a final decision on for me yet.
Right. No, it's a unique one for sure. So next up, that finishes out that bracket.
Yeah.
So the next bracket is the special events bracket. So, this one will be interesting. So first up in the special events category or bracket is unique. Well, I'll let you get y'all's opinion. You got the Adventure Maze against the Block Party.
Mm-hmm.
Let me make a note. Next year, we're going to have a passel of Block Parties. So, there in the past, there's only been
awards and Block Parties again. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, in the past, we've only had a Block Party each year for however many years they did the Block Party in Seattle. Next year, I don't know if you want to factor that in to your thinking, the fact that they're going to become a dime a dozen.
No, not a dime a dozen, but less rare than currently.
Right. Because you're talking still, there's going to be requirements like over 300 people have to lock a will attend for it to be considered a block party, correct?
Correct. So, correct.
So on to that one, even if it's an existing mega, that they have to debate, do they want to retain mega or do they want to apply for block party instead?
Yes. And so, I've heard through the grapevine that not every, because you would think everyone who is awarded a mega is just going to go, oh, we're just going to be a block party. Because, I mean, this is the only year you're going to do it. So but I've heard of at least a couple of people who are involved with megas who are like, nope, we're going to leave ours a mega. Everybody else can make theirs a block party. So,
Here's the thing.
Yeah.
If some of these megas choose that one, are they still an on-running mega, or is it a mega series that stopped and started again?
Well, that's the thing, is that the oldest mega, the oldest currently running mega, which is the Texas Challenge, from what I understand, they are probably going to leave theirs
as mega,
and not try to switch it to a block.
Yeah, yeah. No, I get that totally.
I mean, if you're the longest running, you kind of have to keep it, I think. But that's a unique thing. So we're going to have, it'll be a mix. Not, obviously, there'll be at least one. There'll probably be more. But it is kind of unique. If you run a mega, maybe you don't switch it because you're like, hey, there's only going to be like two or three megas next year. And if if they're trying to keep a cash type streak, which we've never really talked about, but if you've been to, and I think if you go, y'all can go look at yours. I think with me going to the Texas Challenge, I went and looked. I think I've been to 17 megas now.
Oh, gosh.
I know. Well, I mean, to go.
I haven't been to that many. I know.
No, I bet you've been to more than you think, Jesse. I bet you go take a
low teens, I think, for me.
But still, that's.
I've been to more megas than I've been to adventure mazes, though. I can tell you that.
Well, sure. Yeah.
I think that's the case for most people there.
I think I've been to two.
Let's see. Megas 15 for me.
See, we're close. 15, 17. We're yeah. close. Adventure maze, probably you got two, maybe?
Yeah, two. Which it says GPS Adventures Exhibit. Doesn't say maze.
Yeah, is it? Yeah, it's the maze, but I think anyway, officially so it's
Adventure Maze. Yeah, go we got so off topic on that one. But Adventure Maze versus HQ Block Party, that's a really weird one with everything going on.
It is bizarre. It is bizarre. I think the next one is just as bizarre, though. No, yeah, the next, yeah. So, yeah, you are correct. So, the next one in the special, we're in the currently working in the special events bracket. So, yeah, so Adventure Maze is going up against the Block Party. The next one is HQ's Celebration versus the Community Celebration. Kind of weird.
This is that event versus mega or giga thing again.
It is. Yeah. Which wins that one, you know?
Yeah. And it's so interesting when you look down at all these categories for special events, having those four special events. And yeah. I think, I mean, comparing any of those and saying which one is the better is a very interesting one.
Here's the day figured out which one's the best. Worldwide Cash Fest, obviously.
Oh, man. Yeah, Worldwide
Cash Fest. We couldn't put that in here. That would kill everything. It's the only one of its kind ever. So
yeah, we can't do that.
The only virtual Uber Giga that there's ever been. So
Tom's been to 33 megas and 5 adventure exhibits. That's pretty wild.
Nice.
All right, show off.
I like the extra special mega. It kind of is. But yeah, so that's a, you know, HQ Celebration, Community Celebration. Because Community Celebration, you know, I don't know if what y'all's thoughts on that are. But
here's the thing. And without getting totally off topic, and I like what they're doing now where they brought Community Celebrations back out. They brought some of these icon types back out.
Yeah.
But the HQ Celebration is an extremely unique experience.
It is.
Community Celebrations are the ones that we were able to host and go to and attend.
Yeah.
So those numbers are going to be very skewed. Yeah. So again, regular event versus giga, in my opinion.
Yeah, I don't think you can. I don't think you would want. And that's. I think it's true of all these matchups. I don't think you want to go, oh, I've been to X number of events, but I've never been to a giga. Therefore, I'm going to go for the event. I'm going to pick event. I don't think you want to go that route. I don't think it's frequency. I think you really
maybe it is if frequency is by choice, right? Like if you can choose either one.
Yeah.
You choose one of like if you have 5,000 multis but only, you know, 7 mysteries, we know which one you like better.
Right. Well, true.
I think a lot of this is based upon people's personal preference, personal experiences,
yeah, and
expectations as well, too.
Yeah, because it's cash or opinion, right?
And do we want it to? I mean, I don't know if likability. I mean,
I think likability is the number one factor.
Do you?
If you don't, you know, if you don't think it's something that's good, you don't think it's good for the community, then.
But
it's definitely rank lower,
right? But again, you want to look at it. Don't we want people to look at it like you said from the good of the community versus? You know, I might love letterboxes, but does that mean
it's there's the a reason best? Why you love them, right?
Yeah.
If you love letterboxes, there's a reason why you love it. It's not just because you want the little purple thing on Cashly. You know, it's there's a reason you love it. So
sure.
Thinking through that reason, it probably means it's good for the community as well. It may not. There may be some other weird thing, but
right.
I think it's pretty much open. As you know, we're going to get some suggestions, but I'm really curious as to how people – I'd love to hear how people rate them too, not just what the ratings are.
Yeah.
We can get – what did you base this on? I think that would be really interesting for future debates.
And we'll talk a little bit about that a little bit more here at the end of the show.
But we still have the legacy bracket too.
Yeah, we got that. We're going to get to that. But, yeah, I just want to say we're going to go back through and review a little bit as far as, like, how you want to vote is sort of how we'll discuss it in a minute. But yeah,
in Houston, Texas, Dave, I definitely appreciate this. I think we're going to probably do a pizza bracket at some time as well too.
Negative. And we're moving on.
And Direwolf, no. I don't know. If the community wants pineapple, you know, they may get pineapple. We'll see how people go on that
one. Yeah, come on now. Pineapple, it wouldn't be on a traditional anyway. That would be on a different cash type, cash pizza type, you know.
What in your mind, Jesse, would be the comparable?
I'm thinking community celebration.
Community celebration would be the pineapple.
It's weird. Okay, that's not everybody's into it, but you can still find it.
We're done with him.
Yeah, he's gone.
We kicked him out. Enough talk about pizza.
Oh, man, you didn't change the password yet on the link.
Okay. Oh, he got back in again.
How did he get back in? Darn it. Okay. No, you're right. That's really good. All right. So we got one last bracket, but it's different because it's an NIT bracket. And we're going to explain why. But if folks who don't follow college basketball, there's the big NCAA one. And then if you can't make it into the 68 for that, you get invited. Hopefully you'll get invited to the NIT, and there's an NIT tournament. Also good for teams to get into the NIT, not as good. So we have a legacy bracket that we've got going, and we're already into the Final Four for the legacy bracket because people are like, hey, you didn't mention blah, blah, blah. And so the reason is because the next four that we're going to talk about are technically legacy, and we need to talk about why they're considered that. But Battle Royale, number one, virtual versus the reverse or locationless cache, which is also a legacy. You want to explain, John, why the virtual is stuck down in the legacy bracket?
Yeah, and when we're taking a look at these definitions, if you do a Google search for geocaching cache types, you'll find a list from Geocaching HQ, the 16 that we put in there for the 16, you know, kind of cache type tournament. Those are the active cache types. HQ actually has four listed as legacy cache types on here.
Yeah.
So when we're looking at virtual cache, you know, it's an interesting one because if you look at the webpage, and this is just all of us being honest, you know, we had some talk and discussion on this one. You know, it says virtual is a legacy cache type. It says virtual caches are now considered waymarks on their website. It looks like Geocaching HQ has a little bit of updating that they should do on that one.
Right.
Because it's a little inconsistent from what they've done with numerous rounds of virtual rewards. But just looking at this, the definition per Geocaching HQ from the Geocaching HQ website, these are legacy. So that's why virtual cache is in that legacy classification on that one.
I think it is because those virtual rewards, you can't just go and publish one.
Right.
True. So it was retired as a cache type, you know.
Right.
Closed down. So I think it's, even though there's been a bunch new that have come out, it still falls within that legacy cache type.
Yeah. And we have had three locationless come out recently. Yeah. We have the frog, the neat.
Yeah.
And I'm forgetting one. Some of the GC9 fave. Yeah, fave. So you had frog, neat, and fave all came out recently. Temporarily, but they're
which at least they let some of the people that didn't get to be in part of that era before
love that, which was cool because that's interesting that the you know, we had that. So that's a good idea. Jedi Trash Panda, great name, said he has a random idea. HQ should make a locationless cache where meeting a lackey is the requirement, similar to the one where they when you had to do signal. I like that.
I like it, but to enhance it, it's only a certain number of lackeys per year.
Yeah.
And then it changes the next year.
Oh, that'd be cool.
So it's so lackey, like designated. So the lackey group of 2024 is different than the lackey group you have to do in 2025.
Right.
I disagree. I want to find a lackey that is grocery shopping and be able to claim it and then get credit.
Grocery shopping.
Yeah, you know, so if you see them at a pizza place, grocery shopping, just walking down the street, should be then, like, I spotted a lackey. I can claim
you get credit. Okay.
You have to get a picture. Can you do it more than once then, or is it just the first time?
Probably just the first time. Like,
just the first time any lackey would work, in my opinion.
Yeah.
But if it's something that they're going to repeat.
And then, yeah.
we're talking about it like it's already happened. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
It's like, it's tight for us to debate. Let's move on. That's not even real tight. Right. Keep going.
And again, we're in the final four for Legacy. Yeah. And the other one in the, so we did virtual versus locationless. And the other one, of course, is the last two, which is webcam versus Project Ape.
This one's hard because I've got good and bad things to say about both of these types.
Yeah, it's so unique. I mean, webcam, what are we down to? 110?
Less than 200 in the world and 70 active in the U.S. right now.
Wow.
Yeah, don't tell HQ because I don't want them killing it.
I hope they just leave one in the world and it's in Antarctica. And that's the only one.
Everybody have to go to. There is one in Antarctica.
You prepare that. Yeah.
But you know what? Again, I would use those. If I was HQ, I would use those as one. We all know GeoTours. But right. To mark a couple other special locations, not just random bank parking lots. So like HQ.
Right.
Why wouldn't we have a webcam cache at HQ? You could do it.
And
in
why don't we?
That would be awesome.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Bingo, the oldest cache in the world. That would be a good place to mark the whole world. It's important to the whole world, right? It's not just
right
the bank that's on the corner. Right. I would use it to mark a few locations around the world like that. So they're extremely unique, but they still exist. There's still a chance to go get one, but it marks really specific locations like that. Plus, you just add something a little extra when you're doing those really unique things.
Yeah. No, you're exactly right. I mean, that's – go ahead.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think all of these as we go through, you know, I think it's great to allow newer cachers to have that ability to get an icon that has not been available in a long time. Like even with Project Ape, where there was only one, they found it, you know, another one, and now
there's a whole other story. But yeah,
I know there's so much in here, but I got to tell you, and we're not at closing thoughts yet, but I just can't wait to see how everybody votes on these. I really
can. So just, you know, for final clarification, the legacy bracket is just those four. So we will crown a champion in just the legacy bracket. And then in the other brackets, they're all eventually battling completely head to head. So
yeah, we can make some kind of graphic of this, I'm sure.
Yeah. The container bracket is going to go up against the unique cache bracket.
Mm-hmm.
Which is going up against the event cache bracket, which eventually will go up against the special event bracket. Those are the four brackets. And then they'll battle it out, and we're going to get a winner of the regular containers, regular caches, and then the legacy. So, all right, as we wrap up tonight, what are y'all's final thoughts? Who wants to start?
You want to go?
Yeah, I'll go.
Go, John.
I'll go. And first off, I do have to say, happy St. Patrick's Day to everybody on this. I don't think we formally
happy St. Patty's Day. Mm-hmm. Actually, before you go, John, let's do the. Let me bring up the key.
Oh,
key 8.
Oh, man, you don't want to forget that guy.
Let's not forget key 8. So here we go. So I'm about to show it, and that's it. So let's move on now to – no, wait. I'll show it a little longer than that. Key 8. Here we go. There it is.
Oh, man, Jesse's giving a look like he knows where it is.
I'm going to have to say it looks pretty familiar.
Right. Let's see how I can point to this. Right.
Yeah.
It's right there.
Ooh.
Key is right. No, I have no idea. It's not. I have no idea. I just pointed randomly. Anyway, there's the key. It'll be in the CacheVest Vault group, if I recall correct.
Yeah, it'll be posted right after the show in the CacheVest Vault group. And if people have not joined the CacheVest Vault group, it's a Facebook group. That's where all the keys, all the clues for the keys are actually provided onto that. So if people don't know what the CacheVest Vault is, it's a really cool contest. Keys are hidden all across North America at this time. I think we have them in what, Gary, 6 or 7 states at this time.
Jesse's not eligible. Keep going.
Yeah. So
we've had 6 keys found.
Man,
and they've been in 6 different states. So you can't claim that we put them all in one state because we didn't. So far, they've all been different states. Not saying these are. These could be in the same states again. I'm not saying we might not duplicate a state, but for the most part, as a general rule, we're trying to get as much coverage of the whole U.S. as possible.
One day we'll do all 50 states.
One day. But again, hopefully folks are thinking about considering coming to CashFest, Oklahoma, GCAB90Z, and it's going to be great. A lot of planning has been going into that. It's going to be a great event. It's guaranteed. So it's a mega that you really don't want to miss because there are things that are done at CashFest that are not done anywhere else. Just the way it is. It's unique. Yeah. There are things we do. The CashFest vault is one example. This year we've expanded the CashFest vault to another type of thing that's not the vault. We have the hotel safe that everybody will get a key to if you stay at the host hotel.
I love
that. You'll be given a key.
That's going to be a lot of fun.
To open the hotel safe. Not their hotel safe, but our hotel safe.
Unless it works. If the key works. Maybe.
Try it. You could ask them, can I try this in your safe? Okay.
Have we asked if we can use their safe?
I don't know. We should.
You know the hotel has one.
They probably do.
You think they would be willing to provide everything to the winner that's in their safe?
No. But, you know, if the key opened, it'd be cool to do it like at the actual hotel safe.
Okay. That would be cool. We might be able to, we'll have to talk about
it. We might have to think about that in the future.
Yeah.
That would be cool. I don't know if they'd be like, yeah, that's cool. Let's hide keys to our actual safe, like all around that people can find. Or
when we get a bank.
Right.
Help us. And you get to
open the big, right.
Could you imagine getting to open that thing?
Spin that thing around.
And it's in like our prize is in like a safety deposit box inside there. So it's actually inside the bank.
Ooh, right.
That would be fun.
Yeah, they're never letting us do that, but it's still a good idea. Let's just do it.
But the worst you get is you ask and you get a no, and then you ask again and ask someone else, and maybe you get a yes.
We need to do that. Like something like this. That was last year's, but you get the idea.
We've been advertising it. We might as well get a real bank vault now.
Yeah, really. We need to get a real bank vault. That'd be good. Chad, we'll get bounce on that. We'll get him right on that. So, all right. Let's unique rock arch. I like that. URA. It's sort of like a unique pile of rocks. There's a unique RA, URA. Yeah. Unique rock arch. Arch, that's funny. Sam Mark is with us. Thank you. Heard good things about Bamarama, so that's another great. It's another mega to go to. That's great. So keep that on your list for future. Is there anyone in the chat tonight that isn't premium? That's a good question. I don't know. I'm sure there's some that. I don't know if they're in the chat room tonight, but Cheyenne Mountain. That's funny. Yeah.
They probably won't let us in there.
They probably wouldn't let us do some goofy game in the Cheyenne Mountain.
NORAD. I can attest that you will not get far trying to approach NORAD.
Probably not.
I can tell you that from personal experience. Right. They aren't joking.
They're just not.
Jesse, you know somebody who tried, perhaps, or got a little...
Don't have a sense of humor.
Me.
Oh,
I had to try. It's NORAD. Come on.
Of course you did.
I watched Stargate. I know what's inside that mountain.
That's right.
There's a big ring, and we can go to all the other, you know, all the planets and stuff.
Why do I picture you like knocking on the door, like asking to borrow a cup of sugar or something?
Yeah, you're not getting that close. Trust me.
Yeah.
When the guards tell you to turn around, like they step in front of your car, like, you know, turn around. You're like, Yep.
When they're up on the side of the hill. Yeah. I don't think we're doing a, I mean, I like the idea of a cash fest Area 51. I mean, we're always doing unique things.
Yeah.
I think that's a little too unique. I think that the guy up on the hill who's got the glasses on you, you know, going, turn around, go back.
The aliens. Yeah.
Yeah. We're not letting you in there. So, okay. Final thoughts. Yeah. John, you go first.
Yeah. Oh man. I'm excited for this one. I can't wait to see how the voting turns out on this one. You know, everybody has a favorite cache type. I know some of us have may express that favorite cache type on here. I reserve the right to not name a favorite cache type until they have a pizza related cache type or a food related type. but this is one that I think is very cool, because I think the one thing I appreciate about geocaching is the variety of experiences out there and all the different things that you can do. And certainly when you talk to some people, and some people are so passionate about very specific things, but I know within the geocaching community, kind of doing this cache type madness, it's going to be awesome to see, you know, which one is the winner. So definitely I encourage people to go to that Facebook group, the geocache networked community group, put in your votes. We'll get that up on there soon, but please, you know, let us know on that one. I can't wait to see what people turn up.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely.
I'm curious as well. And I think it's going to be regional, because I know, like, just for one example, in the U.S., where it goes, the best type ever. That's not what I meant. I meant multi-caches. Like, they're not as common as they are in Europe. In Europe, right, people go crazy over and they put them out all the time. In the U.S., we don't put out multis as much and don't find them as much as other places. We've seen that stat before. Right. So I think it's going to be a regional. If we could break it down that far, I think it's going to be regional as well. Right. But yeah, every cache type. I mean, one of the best things about geocaching, like we've always said, is there's something in it for everybody. Like, there's these unique, weird stats, and that's what people do. Or there's a certain cache type, or there's people that only find first to finds, and that's it. If they're not first, they don't go find it. There's people that play the game in so many different ways. None of this is which part of the game sucks. It's which do you think is the best out of the two, or however you come up with your own criteria, you know, what is the best for the game, all that stuff. So I think it's going to be really interesting to see, but I think it's going to be varied by region a lot.
Yeah. And then my final thought as we wrap up tonight is just that I like the fact, like somebody mentioned earlier, like, well, those can't, I can't compare those two. That's the point. We put there's a couple that are head to head that don't on the surface make any sense. And the point of that is you have to really think through. And that's what I love about this, is that you've got to think through, okay, in, you know, what would I pick to be the winner of these two? And then as it goes on, you're going to have to try to figure out who wins overall. It'll be interesting. So I think that's such a unique part of it. It's like, we're not going pick your best one out of the 16. It's head to head. Who beats who, in these weird brackets. So cool. All right. Well, we'll see everyone next week as we get some final on this madness, the cash madness 2024. And everybody have a good week. Oh, one last note, because we were talking about it earlier. So I did want to mention that if you wanted to go to Texas Challenge next year, I think it's in Floresville. I saw
something like that.
Yeah.
So not Florida.
No, Floresville. Okay. Floresville,
Florida. Yeah.
Okay.
Floresville, gotcha. Texas. So Yeah, that's a cool place. It's near San Antonio, so you could fly into San Antonio and then make the little trip down. So anyway, so there you go. Wrapping up that that discussion point from earlier. So, all right. That is it. We will hope everybody have a good week. Get out there and vote. Pick your winners. And again, we'll see you next week. So good night, everybody.
Okay. Take care, everybody.
May your finds be many. DNFs be few. May the terrain and difficulty both be less than two. And whatever it is you're looking for, may it find its way to you. And may we all meet again.
Folks, we hope you've enjoyed the show tonight. Please email us your comment at geocachetalk@gmail.com. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. The show can be found on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Radio Public, or Spotify, as well as at the Geocache Talk website. Don't forget to click that subscribe button below and ring that bell notification so that you can see and hear the show on a weekly basis. And tell your friends about the show. Get them involved with us in the chat room. And until next week, don't just talk about geocaching. Go geocaching.